This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
This podcast is sponsored by Key for Her. To get 20% off your first order, head to keyforher.com and use the code word TIGHT.
We have a full table there now anyway, coffees and...
We have
coffees and muffins.
The
breakfast muffin is a triumph.
From Honey Truffle.
We might as well mention them. You were in bits, are you?
Well, I was more bits yesterday because I'm hungover from the day before, but I'm still feeling...
Like Lego.
Yeah. Lego, yeah. Whatever that means.
Just kind of put together.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
I feel pretty wretched, I have to tell you.
So can I tell you from my perspective?
Yeah.
Because you're kind of giving us a little bit of a sob story now.
Me?
Yeah. The way you're saying.
I had a great night. No regrets.
There's videos.
No, I'll tell you all about the night
tables.
And all.
The way you're just kind of said, like, I feel wretched. It's like, yeah, you're dancing on tables.
Yeah.
Hometown girl.
Hometown girl. So we were, you and I gigged together last night.
We did.
The Drogheda Comedy Festival was on.
Yes, first time happening.
First time happening. Where's Deirdre from?
Drogheda.
Drogheda, hometown gig, all the rest of it. And so on the Saturday night, needless to say now, I had mates in.
Sharon Madgen.
The legend that is Sharon Mannion was emceeing the gig.
Yeah.
And I'm always very happy when I have female company on a gig. Are you, Emma?
And Sharon is...
Oh, we love that girl.
Yes.
Oh, we love that girl.
She's the crack.
She is the crack. And one of the best MCs in the country. Anyway, so I had her for company and obviously I had mates in as well.
Yes.
So I did a 6 o'clock gig, had a drink in between the next gig.
Yes.
Then the next gig was the Barbican, big crowd. Lot of cracks straight into Clacks. Clacks. That's how you say it. It's Clacks.
Obviously. Clacks.
Clacks. If you've been to Clacks, but my God, what a pub. What a pub.
I never get this excited. It seemed like it was proper kicking off in there.
Jesus, lads. First of all, let's just talk about the pub. It's a beautiful old pub. Seven snugs. Sharon kept saying to me, you kept saying, seven snugs for seven brothers. All night. Seven snugs.
Seven snugs.
Do you remember that Dom Herrera joke? Seven sugars. Seven sugars. No. You don't remember before your time. Okay.
Seven snugs is a lot though.
I mean, it sounds amazing. Yeah, it's unusual to have that many.
Yeah.
But just beautiful. But anyway, so when I went in the door after the gig, the place was rammed. I didn't want to be taking selfies all night because there was a bit of that going on. So I went straight into a little snug by the door.
Lovely.
Happy out. A lot of Prosecco arrived. Give it up for Prosecco. I mean, Jesus, I used to give out about it quite a bit because it's full of sugar and it does make you feel sick. But my God, it's very easy though, isn't it?
It
gives you a buzz very quickly.
Yeah. It's the sugar. Well, it's the alcohol. Like, I mean.
It's almost for kids, the drink.
Yeah. Well, that's a slogan. Yeah, that's good.
Prosecco for kids.
Almost for kids.
So it tastes like lemonade. It's so easy to drink.
That's what I mean. It slips down the back of the neck. It's gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Lovely. And the next thing you know, you're buzzing. So chatting with the girls, with Sharon and then my other mates, Lily Doolan and Sharon Flynn, who I haven't seen in a long
time. This is top tier because everyone's getting the first and second name.
Yeah.
That's when you know you've had a good night.
Everybody's getting their full credit. Except the two girls that I were talking to who were in the snug next to me. Finally, when I was hammered, I ended up standing on top of the bench in the snug to have a good look at the bar because I wanted to see.
Yeah.
You see, one of the things that really made the night was the music. There was an incredible DJ and the playlist was just off the scale. I was blown away by the music.
Okay.
I wanted to find him and say, can I just have that list so I can use it for my pre-show music?
Yes.
Anyway, that was the point at which then when I was well on, I decided to stand up. That's the video you saw.
Yes.
What did I do in that video?
Do you know what it reminded me of? You looked like, do you know when a toddler stands up on their cot and starts shaking?
Yeah.
That's what it was like. You were like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I spotted that Sinead Quinlan was filming me on her phone because she's a young one, and young ones, what do? They take out their phone. So the next thing, Deirdre, drunk, goes, "Look up."
But rightly so. You see, it's a different generation where they will film. You can't be filming people when they're hammered.
No, I did laugh when I saw it, though.
Yeah, yeah, you did laugh.
I thought to myself, my God, I have no sense of what I look like when I'm hammered. Quite mad. The little mad wild head of me, it was kind of, I kind of enjoyed seeing it.
Yeah.
You know, I was going, that's what you're like, O'Kane. Wow.
So anyway.
Yeah. I might post it for the listeners.
Yeah, yeah, do.
If they had a way of communicating with us and they wanted to see that, we must set up a WhatsApp group now. That could be busy. Do we need an Insta page for ourselves?
Maybe, yeah, yeah, maybe.
An Instagram page for ourselves. Maybe messages if you'd like that.
Yeah, maybe we do. Yeah, just to share these little bits and bobs.
I just want to point out to Laura, our producer, who asked me to raise up the mic, that it has now descended to boob level yet again.
It's that
boob
mic,
levels.
Yeah, yeah. That's optimistic.
It's optimistic.
Can I tell you?
Right, okay, carry on.
I'll tell you, from my perspective, okay, so yous were all having a great time. Now, I was having a great time, but I was doing my own gig, so I only came down to Drogheda on Sunday.
Yeah. So you and caught us all in a shocking state.
I caught yous all, yeah. Yeah, yous were giddy, but you were tired. Tired and emotional.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
And then I was told... basically what had happened, you weren't there yet, or I don't know where you were, but I was told, look, Deirdre's hungover, so you'll have to close.
You are having a laugh. That was said
I was
to
told
you.
That's
yeah. Absolutely not the reasons you were asked to close. I had to drive back to Dublin, so I thought, well, and the day before they said to me, do you want to close the first half? I was offered that.
Oh.
The day before. So I said, well, actually, no, I'll close it. I was happy to close it. But then I thought, and then I have to drive back to Dublin. And I knew you were staying to the end anyway to drive back with Sharon. So I thought, well, I'll close the first half and then I can get in the car and get to Dublin quickly.
But that's
it wasn't to do with my hangover.
I was told Deirdre's hungover, so.
The neck!
I know. That's the rumour. I see, that's the... You're dancing on tables and then next thing you know, people are spreading these rumours.
And here I am reinforcing the rumour.
I think I'll
post the videos, as I.
It was a great gig though, wasn't it?
Great, great gig. Barry Murphy told me something very funny that he said, the people kept saying to him, thanks for what you're doing for the town. Thanks for what you're doing for the town.
Thanks for what you're doing. That's nice though, isn't it?
There's a lot of gratitude. I think people genuinely were thrilled that there was a comedy festival.
Yeah.
That there was something to go to and enjoy. And they really came out in their droves. I mean, I think every show was packed.
Because I was expecting Sunday to be quiet because I thought, well, it's a Sunday. It's Mother's Day.
Mother's Day. There was the rugby match.
Yeah, as well.
Was that Sunday or Saturday?
That was Saturday.
I've lost a bit of time.
I wouldn't. Sorry, that was Saturday.
I've lost time.
I wouldn't be up on the rugby now myself.
Yeah.
I think it was Saturday. But no, there was big old crowd there.
Packed. So I'd say that's the beginning of it. I'd say there'll be another one next year. I'd say the Drogheda Comedy Festival has launched.
I think it'll be called the Drogheda Comedy Festival with Deirdre O'Kane. I think that's what it's going to be called now.
Well, I better write more jokes.
And it's going to be there's going to be banners for you in Clarks and
Clarks.
Oh, sorry, how'd you say it?
Clarks. Yeah, Clarks.
And you'll have your own snug. You'll have a plaque.
Oh, I'd love that. I would have made it if I got a little plaque over my own snug.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
That'd be better than a handprint in Hollywood. Do you know, you could start a trend here now. Names on snugs. People would pay good money for that, carry on. Well, we wouldn't give it to the moneyed people. It has to be. It'd have to go to characters.
Yes.
People who contributed to crack.
Definitely.
Yeah. So the people that are in bars that you know when you walk into a bar, there's somebody you'd be always happy to see, would put you in good form, would be a bit of crack. Snugs, they should have their names on snugs. They're valuable people in society.
Yes. And they give them nice names like Lady Lock-in or, you know, that kind of thing and the little plaque and everything. Yeah, it can't be money though. Can't be money.
No, it can't be money.
No.
Money.
No.
No, you can't be buying snugs.
Who'd be, because then it
has to be earned.
Yeah. You'd have people buying snugs that don't deserve.
Who now, off the top of your head, is always good company?
Who is always good company?
Always good company. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even in our tribe, even in the comic tribe, because not everybody's always on or good company. But
you know,
or even in, Yeah, well, let's just go with our tribe because otherwise, you know, people won't know who we're talking
about.
Well,
I tell you now, someone for me who's always good is Shane Dan Byrne. And yep. he did support for me last year. And he understands what that job entails, because if you're doing support, you better come with some fucking gossip. Don't be coming with nothing to say. Don't become only nice no, things to be saying I, about
we've,
people.
We've a lot, long car journeys. Yeah. Long, long, many miles to do together.
I want insights. I want details. I want gossipy stories I haven't yeah. heard about crack. On the circuit.
Crack.
I want you analysing and dissecting other comedians and getting yeah. into all that nitty gritty.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff I want.
Yeah.
Like, be good on stage, grand, but spill.
Yeah, good company. Yeah,
trust
yeah,
your life. Yeah. Trust
we, we'd
me.
Give we'd give Sharon Mannion a snug.
Yes, no, we'd give Sharon a snug.
She'd get a snug immediately now. She's always yeah, yeah, upbeat. Yeah. Good crack.
Yes, even when
full
she's...
chat.
Even when she's not upbeat.
Even
she is
when up, she's yeah. miserable.
Yeah, yeah,
she
yeah.
does as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But you're pretty good at that yourself now.
I think I am.
You're very good.
I think that even when I'm in the foulest fucking humour, I try not I'd to put
be,
that
I'd
on
be
people.
Afraid to come into you. In here to you in bad humor. I think you'd be just like, oh no, we can't have that now. Stop that. That's the end of that.
Yeah.
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 But well, it's a good attitude though.
Yeah. You kind of have to rally, don't you?
Yeah.
You have to rally.
Unless it's a mad
Unless
serious.
It's serious. That's
but it's
different.
Usually not.
No, it's usually nonsense. Like, I have a bit of a hangover. Well, boo hoo. Yeah. Aren't you lucky? Aren't you blessed? I mean, it was a lovely yeah. Mother's Day. I didn't have to get up and do anything.
Yeah. Was that
because
a,
I was able to stay with my mammy, you see, out in Clare Head.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, yeah. So I went home to the... And I
was your mum delighted to have you?
Ah, yeah. She's always delighted to have any of us back in the...
But to have you stay in and everything, that's
yeah,
nice, isn't
staying
it?
Over. Lovely, yeah. Really nice.
And what did you do for International Women's Day?
Nothing.
Did I tell you what I did?
Yeah.
I think I know. Do you
Go
know?
On.
I was in prison.
Yeah, I saw a post. You posted about this. Yeah. Now, you were in prison...
Yeah.
Telling jokes, doing a gig, were you? You were Johnny Cash, were you?
Yeah.
Johnny Cash. You were Johnny Cash on International Women's Day. What a day to go to prison.
I know.
I've also done a gig in the women's prison.
When did you do it now? Tell
no,
me.
No, you know, we'll just hear about yours first.
Okay.
Now. It can't all be about me.
I got asked to do the gig and I was like, didn't even like hesitate. I was like, oh yeah. I'll do that gig. I was
dying to know who asked you. Like, where does the prison ring you? Is there an events officer?
Yeah. The principal of the school in there got in touch with me.
There's a school in the women's prison.
Yes.
Fascinating.
So it's much more kind. Yeah, they have like midterms and all. Yeah.
Midterms, yeah. They don't get out though.
No.
Right.
No.
They just get out of school.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They stay in prison.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So I got asked to do the gig, didn't hesitate, yeah, loved to do it. And then I was in getting an old facial the day before and I was telling the girl, Altona, I was doing this gig. And she goes to me, they'll love you. They'll love you in the women's prison. And I was just like, what's that supposed to mean? You know what I mean? She was just so convinced they were all going to love me. I was like, okay. Went along. I hadn't given it any thought, really. You know yourself.
From the fact that you went for a facial because you wanted to look well for the women prisoners. Yeah, yeah. I know what you're at now. She's got a facial now before going in and see the women in the prison. It'll be a treat for them to see a new woman. Yeah. A little facial before she went to jail. That's because that's what you'd be thinking of doing. You wouldn't know what had happened yet. And you'd want to look well. Right, come on.
So... I didn't really think it through. And you have to go through, you know, the security.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like the airport.
Oh, I've been in. Oh, it's worse than the airport.
And I got a tour. So I got to see people's rooms and everything.
Mm.
And I got to see the kitchen.
Did you get a very oppressive feeling?
It's horrible, undescribable.
Yeah, it's scary.
It's scary.
It is scary.
Yeah. Mm. And you couldn't put the shades on in there. The light in there, I don't know. Wouldn't have suited you. But yeah, you suddenly think, oh, I am in a prison.
Listen, get to the gig because I'm really dying to know now how it went. Were you on your own?
I was on my own.
So you'd know
it was only myself.
You'd know Sharon Mannion to
know
whip
Sharon.
Up the crowd.
No,
and, oh,
no, no,
my
no.
God.
I was on my own. And I suddenly got up there and I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I can't do material about kids. Do you know what I mean? Because I was like,
well, why? Because they were separated from theirs.
Yeah, I just thought, oh, I can't, you know what I mean? I was like, that's a bit dodgy.
Oh yeah, you're right. You know? You can't be complaining about the lunches you have to make.
Yeah.
They'd be loving to make the lunches.
You know, like, and oh, you're, I hear oh, you now. This is going oh, this through is very, your head.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. Oh, can't be talking about the car. I have a fucking car. You know what I mean?
You have a life, love. I have you're a life. Free woman.
Who exactly? Yeah. Who am I to be messing and joking and giving out about anything? I had like this sudden realization.
That you had no material that I was relevant. No, yeah. You had no and crimes. Then,
yeah, I had no crimes. Yeah,
parking tickets, nothing.
I was getting to go home after that, like all that thing. And then I was like, what am I going to do?
Oh God, I feel quite stressed.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm actually feeling the stress of this gig now. Yeah.
And because you want them to have a good time. You want us all to have a good time.
Of course you do.
And then I said, I'll do my lesbian material.
And that worked.
Because as they say, gay for the stay.
I'm just so proud of you that you had lesbian material. I mean, what? How lucky was that? How many minutes have you got?
Oh, I've got a good bit.
I don't think I know it, by the way. I don't think I've ever heard this new material.
So I did that and then I did about...
Well, that was, I mean, that you were thrilled when you realised you had thrilled. That.
And then I did my stuff about how I got pregnant. So.
Listen, as a matter to interrupt you, but does everybody turn gay? Do women just turn lesbian when they go to jail?
Not all, but I think a lot do. Or not? It's not even that you're... It's just like
not a question that is asked about male prison.
No.
Does everyone just turn gay?
But I think it's just for the closeness, like the physical touch, not necessarily like being serious from it, not necessarily like, you know, up in the bed, like humping each other or anything like that. But I feel like, I think most people would for a bit of closeness.
Bit no? of affection.
A bit of affection.
I think it's a bit more than affection now. I think
maybe.
From everything I've read but it's, about yeah, prison, Emma, it's not hugs.
It is a scary place. It is scary because they brought me into their kitchen and they were showing me the kitchen and then they were like, we only have one pot and the principal...
At least they didn't finish with that with to piss in.
Yeah. No, they said that we've one pot. But then I'm going to... It's like... I kind of just start going, I just want to use me as a pot. Like, I'm just like, I'm so on edge. If they had asked me to put
you
were
thinking, I could have brought you a pot from my free life, from my kitchen. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Why didn't I bring a pot from my own
Honestly,
kitchen for
I'm
you?
Like, should I send in pots? Should I, like, you know what I mean?
But no, but I haven't even got to the gig. Like, who introduced you on stage yourself? Was there a stage? Did you have a mic?
There wasn't a stage. I had a mic.
What?
I had a mic.
Yeah.
There wasn't a stage. And it was pretty much like a school hall. And I said, I don't know where I got this fucking idea from.
Oh my God, I feel sick. Go on.
I said to one of the men working there, one of the officers, he said to me, do you want any music? Any like walk-on music?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I do. And he goes, what do you want me to play? And I said, Pussycat Dolls Buttons.
I'd like Pussycat Dolls Buttons because I'm going to follow that with my lesbian material.
Yeah. That's what I did.
Did he have Pussycat Dolls Buttons? How does that song go, by the way?
It goes, you know, it goes, loosen up my buttons, babe.
Wow. Wow, you went to prison. You went to prison. Good girl. Come on, Colleen. I mean.
So I go back.
Brave.
I would go back.
You'd go back?
I would go back, yeah. Do you know what it was? I felt like I would like to get to know the women. Because
Jesus, they'd like to get to know you.
I feel like, no, but I kind of felt like, who am I to come in here having the laughages? And obviously I was told, like, takes them a while to trust people as well. Like,
You didn't have a while, love. You were going straight up to tell jokes.
That's what I'm saying. So I wouldn't mind kind of getting to know them and going back and doing it again.
Okay. Will I go with you? Do you want to hear about my experience in the women's prison?
Yeah. When was this now?
Oh, you are going to laugh. How did this happen? You did well. You got a lovely response.
I wouldn't say they loved me, but I got away with it, is what I will say. I survived.
It's a tough gig. Like, and I'm saying, will I go with you? But I don't want it, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting a bit of PTSD now, remembering
the time that I did the gig in the women's prison, which you're going to die laughing when I tell you what I did. Oh. How was I ever put in this position? You know, I was an actress for 10 years before I became a comic.
Yes.
Right. I ended up doing a lunchtime play in Bewley's. Bewley's iconic venue for a bit of theatre, right? Uh-huh. A little play. Was it 300? Was it a 200? Two. Me and Jonathan White, wonderful actor. It was a play about a barrister, a very posh barrister, and quite a posh woman who had a case. And I don't even remember it, to be honest with you. I remember that Jean Ann Crowley was the writer. There was three in the cast because there was an American lady with us. But it was a courtroom drama. Very, very middle class, to say the least. But Jean Ann Crowley, who was the writer, was very friendly with John Lonergan, who ran the prison for years. And for some reason, they talked about it and they thought, well, would it be a good idea to put this play on for the women? This is the wrong play. We were heckled all the way through. This was not stand-up. This is you're not breaking the fourth wall. This was like a bit of theatre, a little bit of theatre. And we were very posh, and there was a very posh barrister. And now they were pissing themselves because they're used to posh barristers.
Yes, yeah.
But it was hideous.
Are we you were in costume and everything?
Costume and we shouldn't have been there. I think they enjoyed it. I think they enjoyed heckiness and shouting and it was something different.
Were you scared?
They were heckling. You're not used to heckling. When you're an actor, you're not used to getting heckled. People are very polite in the theatre. You go to the Abbey, you'll not see anyone shouting out, go on, you good thing, to the barrister. You know what I mean? Which is what was happening in Mountjoy. Heckling all the way through. And we just had to barrel on and keep going.
Yeah.
I didn't have any comedy skills at that point. I would have loved to have been able to interact but you can't. So we just about got through it. Now, we just got to the end before there was carnage.
Yeah. I can feel the tension in my body now as you're telling me this. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, we shouldn't have been there. We should not have been there. But anyway, it is interesting to go in and feel the oppressive atmosphere and the fear and the kind of reality of, oh my God. Now, that said, I would do very well in there because I went to a boarding school. Not a big difference.
Everyone has it's kind of like dorm set up.
Yeah.
And I saw the rooms, they're quite nice. It's still,
I did 5 years of this. Getting up to a bell. Yeah. Lights out, 10 past 10.
Yeah, I suppose when you look at it, going to boarding school, like, really is school hard knocks, isn't it?
I was institutionalised. I was institutionalised. I could do prison. I once.
Sorry.
I'd be able.
You're flying with this now. You being in boarding school.
Yeah.
With your fucking shades on.
Yeah.
Getting collected by your dad in the big yellow car is the same as prison.
Yeah. Now, I was only collected by my dad every few months. I didn't get out of there for months at a time. But let me tell you something even more interesting. I've told the story before, but I don't know where, so I'll tell it again.
I
once did a comedy gig in Connemara and I was getting the train back to Dublin and I shared that train. Oh, Christ, now the name is going for me because I'm getting a blank. Irish Times, poet, Irish Times writer. And he was intrigued. At the time, I would have been literally one of three women who were doing stand-up in Ireland. So
I believe it.
Unusual.
Yes.
And he was intrigued that I was able to do this job being a sort of middle-class girl. Yeah. You know, like, what are you doing in that male arena that is quite testosterone and difficult, and he wanted to know why I was able to manage this. Now, I couldn't have answered that question at that time.
Yes.
But when I told him I went to a boarding school, he said, that makes sense.
Okay.
I said, right, what do you mean now? And he said, I once interviewed a woman who went to prison for white collar fraud. She was very upper class. Well got all the rest of it. And I went into the prison. She was done for, you know, whatever
whatever white collar fraud crime she committed.
Yes, she got caught.
She ended up in prison and he went in to, he was doing a piece about how people cope. And she said to him, oh, it's not difficult for me. I went to a boarding school.
Okay.
I've practically done this before. I'm very, very used to getting up to a bell, going to sleep to a bell,
yeah.
Now move into there, into the ref for lunch, out, ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Well, I tell you what, we'll do a gig in the Docas and you open with that. You tell all the women there that you know what they're going through because you did boarding school. And we'll see how that goes down.
Great answer. Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Girls, I know what she's are going through with the shades on her head.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Off you go now, girls. Supper's ready in the refectory. Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
They did say, chatting to loads of people there, that a lot of the women do like the routine because, say, their lives on the outside might have been very chaotic, to put it mildly, that when they come to prison, and it's, you know, meal times this and
well, also,
happens on this day and at this time. For a lot of people in there, there is a comfort in that, that they know what is going on every day.
And if it's maybe if it's a short stint,
yeah,
you can actually just breathe. And
yeah.
And I suppose if you're coming from a very traumatic household, like if you're coming from drugs and drink and poverty, that is rough. So yeah, maybe in comparison, it would be... Would it feel safe?
Like, yeah, you see, it could. But you know, the you
do you know that my? Can I just give a little credit, a little nod to my sister-in-law, Fiona Bradley, who passed away when she was 41 years old. But she was the doctor in the women's prison.
Oh, really?
Mm. For years.
Well, 41. I mean, that's incredibly sad. But I have to say, all the people that I met, and I'm not just saying this, all the staff that I met. I was, they were so impressive. Like, so Rose, the principal who contacted me, she just had this, all the women working there had that aura of like strength, but like compassion, which I think is something very unique to women. If you know
I'd
what I mean?
I'd say this is new as well.
Yes.
I like to hear it. That people are not, that there's a system. They're trying to better people. They are trying to rehabilitate people as opposed to punish them.
Mm-hmm.
So all the people
it was
you met
not very,
very
sad
impressive.
And whatever, but I felt like the people were very impressive. And even there had been a DJ in the morning. There'd been a chap in spinning the decks.
Sorry now.
But I
this was your warm-up act.
Well, he was in the morning. I was in the afternoon. But you remember the other week when we had all the heavy snow and we were all like, oh my God, the snow. There were some people that didn't mind that snow. And that was the people in Mountjoy because the drug nets had fallen down. So there was no drug nets in the women's prison or the men's prison.
What do you mean by drug nets?
So, you know, out in the yard, look at me talking like I've been there once. No, Deirdre, come on. Do you know out
in
the yard?
I'm looking at you and I'm thinking, why is nobody casting you in Orange is the New Black? Like you just look like I'm all over this prison situation.
Absolutely shitting myself.
I could just see you in a prison drama.
They have the nets out in the courtyard so people can't throw over drugs. So they're gone now because the snow has they collapsed with the snow.
So were they finding little parcels of coke in the snow? How would you find it?
You see now. So maybe that's why the gig went well. But the principal one was telling me, so she's worked in prisons, like that's been her career.
Yeah.
But she said, so obviously everyone thinks that they'd be throwing over drugs.
Mm.
But she said she's seen all sorts. She's seen drones trying to drop in takeaways.
Wow. Wow.
But I was like, I get it.
Yeah. Why not? If you loved somebody in there.
Yeah.
You send might them get in a drone to send them in a Supermax.
Yeah. 3-in-1 spice bag or something like that.
A spice bag. I mean, if you were in jail and you got a spice bag, like that's...
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Oh, day made.
Yeah.
Week made, so maybe year made.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not all... Like, okay, obviously there's a lot... I'm not saying there's not drugs in prison. There is. But there's also spice bags as well.
Occasionally. I wonder what the food is like. Did you get a glance at the food? Wonder is it better than the boarding school food?
I don't know. You can ask them when you go in the gig. What's the food like,
girls?
What do you
think of the food? Are they giving you baked Alaska for your dessert? That's what we used to get. Baked Alaska. I've never heard of it since. Do you even know what it is?
It's baked Alaska.
Baked Alaska.
Meringue with ice cream. Is that what
well
it is?
Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. That was boarding school food. Baked Alaska.
I mean, that's pretty nice, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't think I've had it since. I anything I
it's
had.
It's of its time, though, isn't it? It's one of them.
Very old-fashioned, like a vol-au-vent.
Yeah.
Yeah, very old-fashioned.
Prawn cocktail, that
no
kind
one's
of thing.
Offered, yeah, you wouldn't even get a prawn cocktail as a starter now for anywhere.
No, no, no.
It's just considered.
Were you getting prawn cocktail?
No, there was no prawn cocktail. No, it wasn't. No, no.
There was baked Alaska. Sunshade.
Baked Alaska. I can't
B&W's.
Actually really remember the food.
You were so posh, you weren't even gay for the stay in the boarding
school. I remember
my mother
had to write to them to say, don't make her eat her vegetables, because they used to make everyone eat. And I don't eat vegetables. I still don't eat vegetables.
Do you know what I heard about you last night? I was driving around Drogheda trying to get parked for ages. And then I was told, oh, well, you know where the Queen parked? And I was like, where'd she park? At the fucking door. Right at the fucking door. And I was like, of course she did. Me driving around like a fucking idiot.
Well, I did. I had driven around three times.
Oh, and you thought,
and then on my third go, fucking a spot at the door. Thrilled.
Join the Cast is back for its last stage. It's your turn to decide which will be your new favorite podcast. Whether you're into ghosts, fashion, GAA, anthropology, or the meaning behind names, just go to jointhecast.ie and vote for your favorite. The winner will get a podcast series worth 50,000 euro and will join Headstuff Podcasts. Vote now at jointhecast.ie.
I'm 39. Nearly 40.
When will you be 40? I need 40. That to happen fairly loudly.
I'm 40 in June.
Hooray!
Yeah, yeah.
Hooray!
But should I'm I delighted. Be should I be taking Kiefer
I would take it, yeah. I would take it. Well, it's not going to do you any harm if it's only going to do you good.
True.
Yeah. It's a fantastic supplement, but also the collagen you want, and this thing has everything. And if you were feeling, if you thought you... People are always confused about when they're perimenopausal because it's not an exact science.
Is that a symptom?
Is that a symptom? If you start sneezing in the middle of a sentence, you've got it.
But that's it. Like everything points towards it.
I mean, because there's a rough guide that will say 45 to 55 is rough perimenopause to menopause. But you could be 30. You could be 38. You could be 40.
Yeah.
You could be.
It's kind of like puberty. People could be 9. People could be 16.
Yes. Yes. It's not an exact science.
Yeah.
And then people go. And also the range of symptoms are quite different for different people, right?
Yeah.
Like if you find yourself being very irritable. A bit of low mood. Going, God, why am I so down and so irritable? Well, obviously the hot sweats are a very obvious one.
Yeah.
You know, but the irritable and being down, people might not necessarily think, oh God.
And it's a hard one actually to be aware of yourself.
It is,
so maybe once you're kind of coming to 35, it's something to think about regardless.
Watch out for. Yeah. Yeah. Something to watch out for. Yeah.
Because it's going to head that way regardless, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was there a symptom for you in perimenopause that you were surprised by, or you thought, oh, I didn't even know this was a symptom?
Well, I went to the doctor because I was very low. I had a very, very low mood, which is unlike me. Like, I could have a day where I'm low, but I can get myself out of that.
Yeah.
Fairly, I can turn it around. But this was going on for weeks. And I said it to a friend of mine. I said, I think I'm definitely, I must be menopausal or something. Anyway, I went to a doctor. I was living in London. And she said to me, well, what's going on in your life? Now, my dad was very sick. My dad was dying at the time. And when I told her that, she said, oh, that's all it is. And she dismissed me. And she was absolutely wrong. I was fully in it. But she interpreted the fact that my dad was dying as the reason I was low, but it was nothing to do with that. I was 100% in full perimenopause, and I went to a doctor a couple of months later to a different one. They said, absolutely.
I think you've actually probably hit the nail on the head there, why it's so hard for women to know exactly when they're in perimenopause, because they're always going to have so much other stuff going on in their life.
Yeah, of course.
That they could put it down to, I haven't been exercising, I haven't been this
I'm
or
running
whatever.
Off my feet, I'm working.
The kids are doing this or whatever. So it's probably just a good thing that if you are getting into your 30s to start thinking about it, because it's coming down the line.
But also some people think, oh, it's just hot sweats. That we don't know much about it because nobody ever talked about it before. This is only being talked about in the last 5 years. Now, is that not shocking to you? You see, I find that very shocking that this has become a talking point only now. It's 2024, is it?
Yeah. That was about to be a magnificent point until you had to check what year
she always
it was.
Has to check the year and the month and the day.
No, it's definitely 2024, yeah.
Yeah. But like, how has this become an unspoken thing for so long? How? But then again, I mean, how were we kept down for so long? You know, I know. Look at that. How the fuck has this become a taboo subject? Like, seriously?
I know. We only got divorced in 1996, so it takes time. But we're here
and the
now.
The French had it in the 1800s. And I remember when I heard that, I thought, oh Christ, we're very behind. That's a lot of catching up to do. They had divorced in the 1800s and we got, what did you say, 19 what?
1996.
Wow. Wow.
So we've got a lash to keep her.
Ah, listen, get it all in.
Catch up.
Get it all in. Take it anyway. If you have a suspicion that you're in this phase of your life, right? Perimenopausal or menopause. Just go on to the Key for Her website, which is keyforher.com, and get the Key Collagen and get the Key Perimenopause supplement and take it. And there's a 20% off with our code, which is what, Emma?
Tight.
Tight.
For Keep It Tight listeners.
Yeah. Now, will we have one of these collagens for the crack?
Might as well.
You could throw this. I was thinking this would be lovely to have with your gin. Oh, happy Cillian Murphy Day, everybody. Cillian Murphy week, month, Cillian Murphy year.
First, he's a great ambassador.
First Irish man to win an Oscar. Hard to believe.
I couldn't believe that actually when I read that.
It is hard to believe because I think people were kind of counting Daniel Day-Lewis, but sure, you can't count him.
Because he wasn't Irish born.
No, not Irish born and not even an Irish accent. You know?
No. You need to have the accent.
He wanted to be Irish, bless him.
Yeah, he really did. He really...
Yeah. I loved that the Lewis was called after him as well and people still call it the Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
So he is a part of our...
Yeah, but he's not Irish. Sorry, Daniel.
No, he isn't. There's no point in pretending. You know, he didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to stay up and watch the Oscars for years.
Did you?
For years because it always fell on my birthday, which is the 25th of March. But they changed
getting
the date.
Soon.
Yeah, getting soon. Can't wait. another year younger.
And tell me this now. Tell me now more. Mm. Do you know Cillian?
I do.
Of course she fucking does.
Look at the acting community.
Did he send you letters while you were in boarding school?
The acting community in Ireland is very small.
Okay.
You couldn't be an actor and not know anyone else, really. You
know all know each other.
Like comics. Like, you know, we know each other, yeah. So I was in that world for a long time, remember.
Okay. So you know him years.
I know him years. And I know his Mrs. Years.
Yvonne. Okay,
So very, very happy for the two of them. I was quite emotional, actually, when I saw it this morning. So I woke up.
But you're horrifically hungover. Let's just put that out there.
I am hungover.
Well. Yeah, yeah.
I was hungover.
I mean, likes you, Cillian, but not that fucking much.
But also, Emma, it's huge.
Oh, it is
like
huge.
He's made history, you know?
Yeah.
It's not everybody that gets to make history. So he's the first Irish man to win an Oscar. Like, just take that in. When they also, I was... I thought he made the perfect speech.
Oh, it was really good.
He ticked all the boxes.
Yes.
But I'm standing here as a very proud Irish man. Now, if he hadn't said he was Irish, well, he would have been annihilated.
Yeah, that would have been the end.
Yeah. The Irish people, the press, I don't think they'd have been happy if he hadn't acknowledged he was Irish. We're very obsessed. Very obsessed with acknowledging that we're Irish.
Yeah, if he hadn't said that now.
Yeah, I kind of feel we need to give that up a bit. It's a bit much, isn't it?
Well, you can test it out first. I'll fucking stand behind you.
No, don't worry. If I win anything, I'm going to say I'm very proud to be an Irish woman. This will be the first thing I say.
Damn straight.
But anyway, he ticked that box and I thought his ending of the speech was perfect.
Yes.
To reference Oppenheimer being the inventor of the atomic bomb and say, I'll dedicate this to the peacemakers.
Brilliant. He's such a good ambassador.
Because
he's very smart. He's articulate.
But he's, as our mothers would say, he's very much himself. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, he's very much himself, yeah. Did you see always
the,
was.
Did you see the clip about his hair? So there's a girl, Shannon, lovely girl, and she does like showbiz for Today FM and 98 and stuff.
Oh, yeah, and I was listening to him this morning on the way in.
She met Killian on the carpet, and she said to him, Killian, do you know that there's some of your hair on line for $7,000? His hair from Peaky Blinders, how does that make you feel? And you can see his face.
He's not able, Killian.
He's not able. Like, he just says, no, he doesn't a bit like over, this. It sounds a bit expensive. But he's just like, he's smiling, but his eyes are saying, fuck off.
No, he does not enjoy that kind of public scrutiny.
It's great to see him smile, though.
I know. And I think
it's great for, even for his face, even for those muscles to get a little bit of a go for him to smile. It's good for him.
Absolutely. And he is great fun, Killian. And he is very funny, but he just doesn't like all that.
Crack.
No, press and fun cameras at me. It's just too much. I just want to be an actor over there. You know,
he definitely, because the other way they say, oh, some people have come to bed eyes. He has fuck off eyes. His eyes are constantly saying, fuck off, away from me, aren't they?
Yeah, stay away. Don't go back. Stand back over there.
Yeah. He doesn't.
Absolutely.
Killian, why don't you get a chicken fillet roll? You just seem like, oh, fuck off. Killian, Barry's our lines. All these stupid questions.
Well, a friend of mine rang me this morning and we were talking about it as I was in the car on the way in. And because Yvonne, I thought, was looking fantastic. And I thought she was the best looking woman at the Golden Globes, which I texted her to tell her.
Oh.
Because the rest of them were very pale and very thin. Back to Ozempic.
Okay, yeah.
Back to Ozempic. And she said, they looked like a gust of wind would have blown them all over.
Okay. And that's an exclusive on Keep It Tight here, guys.
That's an exclusive. But anyway, do you remember going back to where I was getting to? Yes. The kiss at the Golden Globes. She kissed him and she got his nose, and his nose was covered in lipstick. And then he got the first thing he said when he got up was, is my nose red? So last night when they announced his name, he took a breath, they stood up, she planted a kiss directly on his lips. It was like, let's get it right if you're going to win this.
But and that they did. Kiss was quite sensual, wasn't it?
Which one? The Oscar one?
The Oscar one.
Mm, it was, yeah.
Oh, I got a bit of a buzz off that.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
Take that to the women's prison with you.
I just thought.
Do you think they got a buzz in the women's prison this morning? What?
I wouldn't blame them if they did. Because the level of confidence she must have had. She knows the cameras are on her. And she's like, hold it there, lads. And she goes,
well, listen, here's the thing. They'd had the moment of kissing him on the nose and the lipstick's on the nose. They knew there was a very, very, very good chance that he was going to win.
Yes.
The whole world is watching you.
Yeah.
So you do, they prepared. And I'd say, what do you think was in her head? We'll take a breath. We'll have a moment. Fuck it. We'll have a kiss that's on camera for the rest of our days. And our sons are up there in the balcony.
Yes.
And it'll give Emma Dorn a buzz.
No, but it was a proper kiss.
It was nice.
It was a proper.
Yeah.
They had a ride that night, I would say.
Oh, I wouldn't say so, love. They were partying all night. All night till dawn.
Not
they might be home
around.
Yet.
Okay.
No, you can have the ride any day of the week. They were out.
Yeah.
Out hanging
would
out
you
with
not
stars.
Have been rock hard? Would you not be rock hard accepting your Oscar? No?
Well, with the whole world watching you, I hope not.
Yeah, okay, maybe not.
No, love, this is a moment of terror. Like, this is terrifying.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, this is, I cannot get a word wrong here. That's not, I've got the horn now.
Yeah, okay, yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, but he did a great job. His speech
was
brilliant.
Best actor and best horn goes to.
He did a fantastic job, fair play to him.
He did. They got it right. And that's a great relief. And then you go and get drunk and you party. Yeah. Like you've never partied before.
Because there's nothing worse being an Irish person when you have somebody out there and then it turns out, you know, who's a representative for the country and then it turns out they're a fucking idiot. And we all
Oh, well, we'd all
sit
be
in
just,
fear every time they open their mouths.
Yeah, I don't think there's any age that's going to be winning any Oscars soon.
No.
No.
We won't name them, but everyone knows who those people are.
Actually, no, yeah, now that you've said it, yeah. Are there any ticks who've won Oscars? There perhaps there would be.
Oh, any ticks that have won Oscars? Oh, there'd have to be.
I mean, Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe wouldn't be the sharpest tool in the box.
I wouldn't say Russell is up yet. Do you know that kind of way?
Like he's, he's mad.
He's mad. He's,
in a lovely way. I love
in
mad
in a lovely
people.
Way, but he's more eager to get on the fucking radio than I am. And I'm like, Russell, love, just chill. Like, there's no, like, there's no need. What are you promoting?
Yeah, he doesn't have fuck off eyes.
No.
He has. I'd talk to anyone now. What? What
do you I'd say he'd ride a tree. He gives that kind
and
of energy.
And also,
doesn't he?
You know, Russell, when Russell emerged as an actor, he was like, whoa, wow, look at this guy.
Yes.
Like, he got Oscars straight away. Two amazing performances, Gladiator. And then the choices have not been good.
No.
No.
What could he do next now? Well, how could he rebrand?
Pick a good script.
Pick a good script. Maybe he needs to do... Oh, do you know what he could do?
That was guttural. I'd say if you're making noises like that in the female prison, you'd be busy.
Girls, I went to Bourne's Gusson. I know all about this. I was embarrassed as a young one because my dad's car was too flashy, girls. Just know what I mean?
She's coming for me. She's coming for me. She's had enough. She's had enough. She used to love me.
I love you. I love you.
Russell Crowe. What should Russell do?
Russell, do
let's
you remember,
fix Russell's life.
This is what
How about
he can
we have
do?
A segment in the podcast every week about fixing someone's life and the shit choices that they've made and how can they turn this around?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Like, I love giving unsolicited advice.
Yeah.
Russell should. Do you remember your man, the crocodile hunter chap? What was his name?
I don't remember, but I know who you mean.
Steve Irwin.
Irwin. Yeah. Oh, the real crocodile
the
hunter.
The real crocodile
hunter
who got the stingray got. No, he didn't get eaten. He got stung by a stingray.
Either way, was he killed?
Well, no, sorry, not either way. How did your dad die? He got eaten or he got stung by a stingray? Very different
I mean,
funerals.
Either of those choices are fucking idiotic ways to die.
He got eaten. It's completely different.
Stung by a bee or eaten by a croc. They're fucking...
Stung by a stingray. Not a fucking
shit ways
bee.
To die. It's like, just stay out of the way of stingrays and crocodiles. Like, it sounds like... It's carelessness, as Oscar Wilde would say. Carelessness.
No, but that's what his whole thing was. He was always jumping in swamps and all. Like, that's what he was doing.
Okay, so he was asking for trouble.
Well, let's not victim blame, but yeah, he was asking for trouble. But Russell Crowe should play him in a story of his life. I think that would suit Russell, no?
Well, it would certainly suit the thickness. As in, he looks like a man who could play a man that died because he was stung by a fucking bee or a stingray or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, it does look. In fairness, Russell does look like he's been stung by something these days. He
does. He's turned up now. He's turned up on the Late Late Show telling mad stories in the middle of COVID. Do you not remember that? Like, it was like, Russell, love.
No, Russell's still in lockdown.
You're a film star.
Yeah.
Who else, though? Who else? Were there any thick women who've won Oscars?
See, that's it. I don't know if it's possible, is it? You know,
no, well, they're very smart. I've never met a good actor that wasn't
Gwyneth
smart.
Gwyneth is a spoofer, but she's not thick.
Oh, she's not thick?
No, she's not thick.
She's not thick. She's annoying.
She's annoying. She'd be telling you that candles are smelling like vaginas, but she's not thick.
No.
So,
I mean, did you watch any of that skiing accident trial? Did you watch any of that?
Yeah, hilarious.
Hilarious. She, it's dreadful when somebody perplexes you as much as Gwyneth Paltrow. You know, bright, look at the business. She's built a massive business. She's making a fortune now. She's printing money out of the Goop thing.
But that's the thing. She has made a business out of nothing. There is nothing there.
A lifestyle. It's nothing. She's selling her lifestyle. And so it's in the same vein as the Kardashians. Because it's, yes. This is how I live. Yes. These are the candles I'm going to recommend. There's a travel section. This is where, I've looked on the site. I followed Goop for a little while. I had to unfollow because I couldn't bear it anymore. Because you'd go on and they'd say must-haves. And the must-haves were toweling robes, $500 for a white toweling robe. Must-have. Well, now, Gwyneth, what percentage of the world's population do you think are in the market for a bathrobe that costs $500? I get deeply irritated by that.
It's not good.
It annoys me.
The one that did it for me with her, well, I was kind of done already. But
also, Emma, why do people want to buy into wealthy lifestyles? Why are people obsessed with Kardashians and Gwyneth Paltrows and the people who are in the 1%, 1% of wealth, right, in the world? And they're looking at them like, this is aspirational. Yeah. I want this. And you can't have it, love. You can't have it. Now, I know you're trying to get the nails and the hair and the lashes and the tan done, and you might get a BBL and try to look like one of them, but you're not.
I don't know. And like Gwyneth in particular, she doesn't even look like she's having a particularly good time. She's going around saying one of her meals is bone broth. Gwyneth, bone broth is fucking water. That's water from the pot.
You'd be throwing a scoop of protein into that, wouldn't you?
I'd be fucking having something. This is my protein.
She takes protein.
Do you want me?
She adds protein to her food. That's why she's looking so well.
The tone of that was said as if I was in a fucking cult.
I'm jealous because get a scoop full of protein and you look great. Anyway, no, let's go back to Gwyneth. This is I'm interested in this.
No, but what's so great about her life?
I'll tell you what annoys me now. Okay. Yeah. Now, but this could sound like bitterness. This could sound, you're jealous of a woman who's very successful. She's running a great business. She is a fine actress. I'm going to give her all the credits. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Smart. And actually, there's a lot of warmth in her. And I've heard her and I want to fucking like her.
I don't dislike her, actually, yeah.
Yeah, but she annoys me because she has this incredible platform.
Mm-hmm.
The fuck? I don't think I've heard her once support a cause. I don't think there is a penny from Goop given to a charity. So when I see someone like her, who's already incredibly wealthy, run a business like that, I want to see, I'm looking at the website, I'm going, okay, what's she supporting? Is surely to God, of the $400 robe that she's peddling now to people who don't have that kind of money, I want her to tell me 10%, 20% of that is going to Feed the World, something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see any sign of it. And that annoys me. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she's got a charity in there somewhere, but would you not mention it?
Yeah, I'd
want... Am I being a bit fucking...
It's given Bob Geldof. It's given...
Well, I'd like to be Bob Geldof. Why do you think I started Comic Relief? I get annoyed by inequality and very rich people up there pushing their lifestyle on fucking people who haven't got what they have. It annoys me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you.
Look how wound up I'm getting.
Come on, where's Comic Relief? When's that getting up and running again? What's that? She's going to fucking deck me.
I mean, look at, I'm practically on bended knee begging RTE at this point.
Yes, what's going on there? You'd think that'd be, and at the moment,
it costs
now,
money. Comic Relief, it costs money to produce the programme.
Right.
And as we all know, they don't have any.
They've nothing.
They've no money. So, I don't know. Look, I'll be in there soon begging them again. Please, yes. please.
It feels like at the moment, though, it's kind of critical that we would have Comic Relief.
Thank you. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, could the world be in a bigger state of chassis? Could it be
and
worse?
Irish people are generous.
Irish people are
and
so
they will,
generous.
And they will give. So, I mean...
They're so conscientious. Mm. They are so conscious. I've never seen any more heartache than there is genuinely at the moment about the wars that are in the world.
Yeah.
And it's just so much of it. And everybody is just, we're watching it in real time as well. That this is new. You know, when there was World War II happened, nobody was looking at it on their phone or 24/7 on the telly, but we are, and it's hideous. And yeah, I think people are desperate to do something. So yeah, I agree with you. This is a good time to do Conor McGrath.
People really want to do something. And yeah, because, as you say, they're just everyone can see it. Everyone is just watching it, and people don't want to feel like they're just watching it.
And the beauty of comic relief is that you're asking people to stay in and watch the telly, and you're going to give them comedy. So you're not going to ram hardship down their necks. Yes, we will show you the videos of where the money went, and yes, we will try to pull on your heartstrings because that's what we need to make money on the night. But that's interspersed with every great funny person you've ever known and some good sketches and a bit of writing and all lovely actors and all the rest of it. And it's a win-win, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're just no money. I mean,
not at the moment, not at the moment. But we are in talks. We are in conversations. So,
I think if one day, one episode of Fair City, it just didn't come back after the break, would that free up a bit of cash?
I'll ask them.
And nobody, like, if you went and made the cup of tea and you came back and said, oh, was it over? I think it'd be fine. I don't think people would notice.
In fairness, comic relief, it'd cost a fraction of what it costs to make a drama.
That's what I'm saying. Just cut Fair City short one of the days.
Yeah. I think we'd need to cut a season.
Okay. Mm. What else could we cut to free up a bit of money?
Well, they've cut a lot of things. They've cut people. They've cut, practically cut RT2. You know, there's a lot of cuts happening.
I mean,
do you know how much money we made on the comic relief?
Tell
night?
Me. I actually don't know the figure.
Would you know that? You were part of it, I presume.
No.
What did you do? Were you in something? One of the sketches? Or you surely did one of the live gigs down the Three Arena.
I did the Three Arena, yes.
There you go.
Ah, yeah, brilliant.
But on the night of comic relief, did I not rope you in to do something?
You did, but then they didn't end up using it.
What was it?
Do you remember my sketch during lockdown, Mad Isn't It?
Oh, yeah.
That was meant to go out.
Oh.
I didn't have time.
Oh, wow.
And then I just put it out myself.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But we raised 6 million.
That's a huge sum of money for a country this size, isn't it?
It's a huge sum.
But no one's surprised by that.
The live shows that we did in the Three Arena, of which we did three, they raised $250,000 each.
Wow.
That was why I went to Gaza on the money from Comic Relief, because $250,000 went to Gaza to help kids who are suffering from malnutrition. And I went out. But anyway.
Well, we'll have to free up a bit of cash in RTE.
It has to happen.
I was on it the other day, but do we need the Today Show?
People need to.
Let's do a couple of months of reruns on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think would that budget be enough? I need to find out.
I think
what the budget
Maura
for
and Dahi wouldn't
is.
Mind. I think they'd like a bit of a break, to be honest. Would anybody know? I don't think they would.
Don't know. What do you think the ratings are?
I don't know, but like, what have we got in today's show?
They're
we're
very
talking
popular.
About
popular. Dahi's adored.
Oh, I love Dahi, and Dahi's
the
great
two of
crack.
Them I loved,
oh, big star. Mm. But look, if we started doing a couple of reruns from a couple of years ago, what are we showing? We're showing Chicken Paprika and How to Dress Up a Fucking Outfit from Office to Pub. Like, it's fine. Just
you could do a few reruns and maybe wouldn't notice.
Dahi looks great. Maura looks great.
Yeah.
No,
and if anything, they're looking younger.
Yeah, well, he's gotten the hair plug. So, okay, well, maybe.
He's gotten the hair what?
He's gotten the hair transplant.
Does he talk about that? Or are you just saying you're just the oracle on these things?
No, he spoke about it. He did an interview about it.
Oh, fair play.
Oh, yeah, and it looks great. So maybe start the reruns from when he got the hair done.
Yeah, okay.
And Maura, never ages, so grand.
I don't think that show costs a lot of money, love, to be honest.
Mightn't. Because I did it the other week. And they had sandwiches and they had two snack bars. And everyone that came in said, oh, what's this all about? It's because they had Leo Varadkar in. They wouldn't usually have the snack bars.
No, I know. It's very sad. It's
like
it's
when
bad.
A snack bar is getting a, the recession's coming.
Yeah,
we're fucked.
You know, there's no money. There's no money. I know that the reception and the radio centre is very shabby.
Yeah.
Now, I shouldn't say this really. So will I not bother?
No.
Look,
we all lean closer. As you say, I shouldn't say this. We all lean in. Go on,
say it. When you go into the radio centre.
Yeah.
the sofa's very old. It's been there a long time.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a Christmas tree. Half of a Christmas tree was left in the corner, like it didn't get put away.
Yes.
There was things in the corner. Like it needed a good hoover. And it's just very, there's just a touch of the Eastern block about it.
Mm.
Not a candle. Very cold. Like the door keeps open, sliding open. And yeah. There's a permanent wind
draft
in the foyer.
Yeah.
Now, I'd always be having a chat with whoever's on reception.
Yes,
and you
of
go
course.
In to do a radio show or whatever. So I'm chatting away and I said to her, God, it's a bit bleak. She said, tell me about it. She was frozen. She had her coat on. And I said, what about a candle? I was thinking, could we spruce this place up? I said,
it's your answer to everything, a candle.
Well, do you know, just a flame
yeah.
can just be good for your heart.
Yeah.
Just looking at it warms you. You know, Gwyneth would have a range of
bollocks allergy from Deirdre. A flame can
a
be
candle,
good for your heart.
This is why candles are so popular. But I thought, but you know, if you had a candle on the desk, it might make her feel warmer.
Yes.
And also, people who are coming in might feel a bit warmer.
Yeah. Okay.
And I said to her, would you put a candle on the desk?
Yeah.
Like we got into a chat about how bad this area was. And she said, I'd love to have a candle, but they won't let me.
They won't let
Health
me.
Health and safety.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Well, I look.
And also the other reason was, the reason that she said they weren't doing up the foyer was because they're telling everyone they've no money.
And they have to stick with that.
Can't look like they've money.
They're not even listening to their own radio station in there. Because I went in one day and she said, I just heard you on the radio there. It was fucking 98. I was on 98 FM because I heard you on the radio there. I was like, were you listening to 98? She said, oh, gotcha.
Wow.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, my God. Will I say something positive?
Yeah,
they
do.
They did do the first one.
And it was great.
And at least we established comic relief. So me and Darren Smith, producer extraordinaire of LOL LOL.
Yes.
And Fittest Family and other big shows.
Gogglebox.
Yes, Gogglebox. And him and me and James
Most
Russell.
Telly that gets made in this country,
He's
I would say. Yeah, yeah. let's just say that.
Yeah. But anyway, we're feeling the pressure. Like,
yeah.
I just want to get it made. And as you say, it's time. There's so much hardship.
It's definitely time.
Yeah. Talk about the footballer who's done the incredible thing about the lunches for the poor kids.
Oh yes,
what's his name? He grew up in a very, very poor household, and basically the school lunches were keeping them alive. There was never a meal at home.
That was the guaranteed meal of the day.
And so when school ends, he said those kids, because he used to be one of them, and this is England, it's not Africa. Those kids wouldn't get a meal. He said, Marcus Rashford. What a great kid. There's the first footballer. Look at the money they're making. So we're not talking about you giving a bit of your salary. We're talking about people who are earning hundreds of thousands a week.
Yeah.
Right? This is the first. He's not. Okay. I'm making a statement that's probably not correct, but that he's the first kid who has, you know,
this
really
is unusual.
Really done something.
Yes.
He said those lunches, he fought. He said when those lunches end, those kids for the whole of that summer might not get a meal. So he fought that they would get the lunch.
Yes.
During the breaks, Easter, Christmas or whatever. And I mean, he really had to take on the government and he was fought. They tried not to do it, the Tories.
Yeah.
And you know who they're made up of? The richest members of English society.
Yeah.
They're the public school boys. You see, again, back to I obviously have a bit of a it's not a chip. It's this kind of inkling that you don't know what it's like to struggle because you haven't had a day in your life where you didn't have to work for what you have. So the Boris Johnsons of the world, right?
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera, who've been running politics for years in England. They couldn't even relate to Marcus Rashford. They didn't know. When he was saying these kids won't get another lunch, they didn't believe him. They didn't believe him because they're not aware that actually that's the level of poverty that exists in England and probably here.
Yeah.
But anyway, my point, getting back to, he used his platform, which was enormous because he was a footballer, to do something.
Yeah.
And it just surprises me that there aren't more people doing it. You see, I used to think that everybody had this rage against injustice. Yeah. I thought this was in everyone. So that when you were looking at people in dinghies come across the Mediterranean and you felt sick in your stomach that it was happening, I thought everyone had that reaction. And then you realize, well, no, some people are just watching it going, it's awful. And that's the end of it for them. It's not, it doesn't like
impact into their brain.
Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Is anybody doing something? It just doesn't exist in everybody. How is that possible? And I don't see it existing in the likes of the Gwyneth Paltrows. And that's when I kind of go, why are you not doing something? Why is it the people over here, usually, can I say, the people who have very little, who actually organise the fundraisers and do, and in school, collections for kids who don't have money and they're aware of kids who have nothing. And you know, by now you get a letter from the school going, look, if there's anyone who can't afford this, let us know at the office and we'll do something. And there's people who have nothing helping other people. So then when I look at the uber wealthy and I can't see.
Yeah. So I just, so I know, are you going to get the dressing gown or not?
I need
to.
Did you
say,
are
you getting the dressing?
Yeah, and I need to calm down with this shit. I
do. Yeah, are you getting the dressing gown or not?
I won't be getting the gown.
Okay, that's what you're,
I won't be getting the dressing
gown. So what you're trying to say is, you're not getting the dressing gown.
That was my point. I love our show.
We're very good.
We're very, very good.
It's good. Look, I know other people are enjoying it as well, but it's good for myself.
Oh, it's good for my soul. It's very good for my soul.
And I think people know that.
I know.
So thanks
this
for
is
listening.
What I always wanted. Always wanted a pod that would just lift me up and inspire me. And it does because of the two of you.
Are we going to start quoting Jerry Halliwell now? Do you remember that song? Lift me up.
I don't remember the song.
Oh, she was as flat as a pancake.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Please keep liking and subscribing. We do appreciate it endlessly.
I don't know what else to say because it sounds like you've covered everything there, but the thank you is important. Yes. Oh my God, those reviews and listens and subscribes.
Lovely.
Yeah, we can't keep going without you, obviously. So fair play to you. And our lovely sponsors, Key for Her.
This podcast is sponsored by Key for Her. To get 20% off your first order, head to keyforher.com and use the code word TIGHT.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.